I'd like now to welcome Jason Silverman. He is the director, the festival director of the African Effect Film Festival at the Center for Contemporary Arts, and Samba Gajigo. He is a professor of French African Studies and Film History at Mount Holyoke College. And the African Effect Film Festival starts tomorrow, Friday, January 30th, at the CCA in Santa Fe. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for inviting us.
Great to have you both back.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk about African film today. Who's making films in Africa and who's watching them?
That's a million-dollar question. I think the number of countries in which films are made has expanded, mostly in post-apartheid South Africa. Certainly the number of films has increased, and also in North Africa. But again, film production in Africa reflects the dire economic conditions in which the countries are living right now, so which means it's really not flourishing. Now, who is watching them? The big irony is that it's easier today to see African films outside the continent than to see them within the continent. That's due to some politics of distribution, of really control. It's easier to see Western films than to see African films.
So I would think it's sort of a cultural problem, because of course African people have a lot of other art forms in which they maintain their cultures, but a lot of what film is a way for us to know ourselves.
Definitely, that's at the very heart, I think, of what's happening nowadays in Africa. Unfortunately, most of our leadership does not understand that culture does not come after economic development, that there cannot be economic development without culture. They go hand in hand. There cannot be dichotomy between cultural expression and the economic development. So basically, in letting images from other continents and other cultures overtake our own images, every day there is this kind of slow death, economic death, cultural death, and political death. And until we reappropriate those images and those cultural expressions, I'm not saying that we should cut off ourselves from the rest of the world. We can't. There is always going to be this kind of dialogue between cultures. But universalism starts with localism. We have to resurrect our own local cultures by insisting on cultural expression.
There was a moment, and you probably know when this was, I don't remember, when France limited the number of American films that could be imported and shown in France, and the American film industry went nuts. But I understood what France was trying to do, which is maintain that French identity through cinema.
Oh, definitely, but France can afford the luxury to do that because it enjoys some measure of economic and political independence. You cannot have cultural independence if you don't have economic independence. Just one case in point, for instance, our most important monetary system or financial system is guaranteed and controlled by France. All our insurance system is controlled by France. All our economic system is controlled by France. As the saying goes, when the hand is weak, the spirit runs a great risk. So that's why we cannot limit the number of Western films that flood our screens and kind of colonize our mental universe every night with intoxicating effects we can see every day on African youth.
So in the African film world, I mean, as this festival shows, there are African films still being made, although not in the quantity that there are Western films. And some of them are incredible and very creative films. Is there a sense of unity on the African continent, in the film world? Or is every region just sort of doing its own thing?
Well, let's say Africa is a continent. It is not a country. You have more than 50 countries, north, south, east, west. You have a mosaic of cultures. But I think there is one common denominator among all African African filmmakers, generational issues notwithstanding, which is a conscious effort to use film as a didactic, a pedagogical tool, as a consciousness-raising means. So there, I think you could say there is a concerted common effort among African filmmakers. Of course, then the modes are different. Some of them would do it in a more serious way, like Ousmane Sembène. other people will look for artistic prowess like Jibril Diop, Mambiti, and so on and so forth. So despite all those variations in aesthetic choices, there is this common denominator to make cinema an instrument of African development.
Let's talk about Ousmane Sembeun. You are the world's authority on this filmmaker who's called the father of African film. Tell us about him and his life and some of the films that we'll be showing at the African Effect Film Festival.
Yes, I think we cannot today talk about African cinema, actually indeed world cinema, without mentioning Ousmane Sembeun. There is a Tunisian critic who used to say, whether you love him or you hate him, you can never avoid Sembeun. You are making films either to do like he does or to avoid doing what he does, meaning he's always at the center of African cinematic creation. What made Ousmane Sembeun, I think, a monument of world culture today, and relevant, and I think timeless, is the understanding of the importance of representation, of images, of culture, of narratives in shaping our everyday life, our past, our present, and the future. And therefore, understanding that the people cannot afford to leave to the officials to have the monopoly over representation and textual representation and narrative. Since narratives shape our lives, thinks Ousmane Sembeun, like other cultural workers like Frantz Fanon, then we have to create, to resist those hegemonic narratives, whether they come from outside, meaning colonial narratives, or within our own societies, feudal narratives, and then offer counter narratives. The hegemonic narratives, of course, have only one purpose: to maintain the people in check, to perpetuate the power of those at the top. Therefore, for Ousmane Sembeun, we have to resist those narratives, but also offer counter narratives that empower the people.
What's an example of a hegemonic narrative that maybe our listeners would know about?
Well, take Joseph Conrad, The Heart of Darkness, for instance, which is a certain representation, dominant representation of Africa. Or take the Tarzan series, in which Africans are only shadows. Or take all of the colonial literature, which has only one purpose. It is a dark continent, a continent frozen in time. Therefore, there is this white man's burden and mission, manifest destiny, to go and bring light and enlightening to Africans. Meaning it is a textual representation. It is a discourse that justifies colonization. Therefore, what Sembeun also is saying, what would be the counter-narratives, is first to denounce, to deconstruct those discourses, meaning to bring to light exactly what they are about. They are about power. Therefore, to offer counter-narratives that would galvanize the African people in resisting those narratives of power and in creating their own alternative power structure.
And so for that to happen in cinema, you actually have to have Africans watching the cinema that they make.
Well, that's what the irony is, and I think that's why Sembeun still remains relevant. Why do we choose to show Sembeun's film? Why do we celebrate Sembeun's film? I think at the very heart of this decision, and I take this opportunity to really commend and praise the CCA and the people at the Pond Foundation, and people, enlightened people like Jason Silverman, is because we all came to an understanding that memory is something very, very important. Ousmane Sembeun is not here physically with us today. The only way to pass on his legacy to future generation is to keep on talking about Sembeun, is to show images made by Sembeun. Because he's also a pioneer. This is an artist who understood so well the importance of narrative that he's the first one to make a film in African languages. Because language is a vehicle, is a vector of culture. Not only that, he also spent more than 50 years crisscrossing the world, making images which he thinks speaks to and speaks about the people. I think that's what makes Ousmane Sembeun a giant. That's why I think the CCA and the Pond Foundation have decided to celebrate him, in order to maintain his legacy and to pass it on to younger generations.
And so I guess there's going to be two of his films that are being shown?
There are going to be two of the films, and each one of them has a particular significance. Mandabi actually is a Wolof word. Wolof is the national language of Senegal. Why is that important? Because it is the first film ever made in sub-Saharan Africa in an African language. Meaning it is a film, therefore, that heralded the reconciliation between the African artist and the African public. Because not only people see their own images, they hear their own language, which is a kind of mental fracture, a departure from the colonial films we saw in colonial languages.
Right.
So that's the importance of that film. Actually, Mandabi, I love the English subtitle better than the Wolof, because Mandabi is the money order, a new economic order,
right,
a new cultural order, a new political order. So what Sembène is doing is critiquing the post-independence Africa and the kind of chaos it has left, the way the African people have been marginalized within their own culture. Then you have Kamto Tcharoi. Kamto Tcharoi is the third historical film made by Sembène. Because Sembène is one of those artists who really think that the past is not dead. The past is not gone. But for Sembène, what is interesting, the history does not have anything to do with the past. But whenever he revisits an episode in the past, it is for him a way to look back to the future, which is a very, very Marxist approach. So what Sembène is doing in this film is to really revisit a very, very bloody episode in French colonialism in Africa, unfortunately, which has been silenced in textbooks, which has been silenced in official history. Because again, Sembène said, history is such a very important subject, we cannot afford to leave it to the officials, we cannot afford to leave it to the French. So by unveiling the episode, the bloody massacre that happened in Tcharoi in December 1944, Ousmane Sembène is not only subverting official historiography, but offering a new historiography from the perspective of those who are the victors, but from the perspective of the people.
I haven't watched his films yet. I've been watching some of the other films in the upcoming African Effect Film Festival. We're talking, by the way, to Semba Gajigo, who is a film historian, especially African film. It sounds like they may be a little hard to watch. Are they, or are they?
Oh, hard to watch. I'm not sure what you mean. Actually, Sembène's film are the simplest to watch, because it's very, very simple stories. It is stories of simple people, narrated, told in a very, very simple way, because the main purpose is to have a direct understanding from the people. So it is not like looking for special effect or looking for complicated narrative structures. Most of his films have this very, very linear aspect into the way they tell their own stories. So in that way, I don't think really they are very, very difficult to work. Maybe difficult in which that...
I mean emotionally difficult.
They show us the naked. Yeah. They show how the common person in Africa today has to reinvent themselves, the kind of predicament in which they are. But also, Sembène's films are not only about the predicament of African people, they are about the unsung heroes. Watch CNN, look at other news media, they only talk about cataclysmic events that happen in Africa, hunger, strife, civil war, and so on. Sembène recognizes those things do happen, but they are also on a daily basis. Africans who fight, who resist. A mother who is alone in her one room, raising a child, feeding the child, taking them to school, who are the genuine heroes on whose back we rest the revival of Africa.
And another example of unsung heroes is in the film Pray the Devil, which is about basically how women liberated Liberia from war. And that is a narrative also that you don't really... I mean, I was reading the Wikipedia entry on Liberia, and it did not make it clear what this film made clear, which is that there was this gigantic women's resistance.
Yes. And the theme of the subject of women actually runs through the entire Sembène's oeuvre. From his first written work, Black Docker, 1956, to his last work, Mola Day 2004, which won a prize at Cannes. Women are the first chapter of the first book he wrote is called The Mother. And the last film he made is about resistance against female genital mutilation. And women, really, this mystic about women is central to Sembène. Of course, one of the influences, surprise, 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 is from the works of Jack London. I mean, for whom also this socialist writer who really put American woman at the heart of American revival. But also Sembène pushes the envelope further by stating one day in an interview, and I quote, "If God does exist, God has to be a woman." So, and I think that's also a theme that runs through Sembène's film that we could also observe in Caribbean literature, in African-American literature and film. Women as a redemptive force of dominated cultures, basically.
And it's interesting because the next Liberian movie, which I also watched last night, is Iron Ladies of Liberia, which is about the first woman president of Liberia. So following this resistance to war, which was successful by women, then they got a women president. And there's this amazing moment in her inauguration where it sounds like Obama's inauguration. Did you notice that, Jason?
Yes.
I mean, the people voted for change, and they voted out an imperial executive presidency, and now we're doing something else. And then it shows the first year of this woman's presidency and all the headaches and horrors and corruption and things that she has to do and put up with and deal with, and doing it very gracefully, and it's not easy. And it's just an incredible documentary.
There's a lot. One of the things, we called this the African effect initially because we imagined, we noted the impact of African cultures worldwide and how it's impossible to talk about American culture without acknowledging African influence. And the same is true just about everywhere. What's happening in Africa politically is something that we hope we can import into the political discourse here, and obviously Obama's inauguration is a signal moment for that. But in Liberia, with the kind of resistance movement that happened, in Rwanda with the reconciliation movement that's happening,
and those movies, those Rwanda movies, are absolutely, I mean, if you want to learn something about human resilience and forgiveness and spirituality, go to the Rwanda movies that are in this festival. I found them extremely moving.
The human potential to change and to forgive and to grow is enormous, and we might forget that in our daily lives here, but in places where people are wrestling with real, you know, conflict in the post-conflict moment.
Well, it's, like people who murdered your family in the genocide coming back to live in the same village.
To build a house for you.
I mean, these are things that I think most Americans can't even imagine. And it's worth imagining. And it's worth thinking, what would I do if I were either one of them?
Or what can I do today? Yeah. I mean, how can I absorb some of that inspiration and change how I'm living today here in an area that is, you know, that we have everything we need, but we have a strong sense of entitlement that our frustrations are very relatively minor compared to what's going on in the rest of the world. So what's happening in Rwanda and Liberia and South Africa and elsewhere in West Africa is really inspirational. I mean, we can learn a lot of deep lessons about that. And so this festival this year has a little more of a specific political agenda, and a little, you know, it's a little less of a cultural festival, a little more of a cultural of a political festival, one that really hopes to encourage some deep discourse about what we can absorb and what we can bring to the table in what may be a new era for American culture.
Yeah,
very,
I think if I just may interject here, I think Jason is completely right. I think what we also learn from these films, whether they are from Liberia, they are from Sierra Leone, they are from South Africa, they are from Senegal, is really a departure in sorts from the Hollywood paradigm of film and entertainment. Yes, they also entertain, but the primary goal, as I was saying at the beginning, is to educate. The role of the film is not this kind of escapade attitude from reality, but rather to anchor people in reality, which is the sole precondition, I think, for personal and collective responsibility.
Now, one thing that happens is, in this culture, people think that if it's educational, it's boring. But I would like to put that idea to rest. I mean, some of these films are educational, and they're fascinating.
Exactly. And they're entertaining, too.
Yeah.
But they are first educational, and then entertaining. And there I hate to resort here to this quote from one of the, I think, most famous French 17th century playwrights, Molière. Molière, who said that la meilleure façon d'éduquer, c'est d'amuser. The best way to educate is to entertain.
Right.
So therefore, there is no separation. But if entertainment is put ahead of education, then that's where the problem lies. So this kind of film bring together education and entertainment.
Well, Hollywood definitely wrestles to come up with new angles on the story of redemption all the time. And if you look into the real world...
But they do it in such a heavy-handed way.
And if you look into the real world, there are plenty of true stories of redemption. Mm-hmm. They're slightly more complicated than what Hollywood would give you.
Right.
I mean, the Iron Ladies of Liberia and the Pray the Devil Back to Hell, they're complicated stories. Mm-hmm. This is a complex reality they're exploring. But certainly,
well, and that there's no really complete good guys and bad guys. Everybody's
right.
A complicated human being, no matter what they did or didn't do.
Which is what happens in real life.
Right.
And which makes the stories of redemption and heroism that much more compelling.
Now, besides the political stories, and you said that it's not primarily a cultural festival. That said, there's a film about Youssou N'Dour, and there's a film called Planet B-Boy, which is about... breakdancing all around the world.
Did you get a chance to watch
it? No, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to do
it. I described it in the program as the spellbound of breakdancing because it really is, it's one of those stories where you start following various teams as they prepare for competition. But these teams are mostly kind of marginalized urban youth, and they come from all around the globe, from Korea, from Japan, from Germany, from Las Vegas, and they've embraced this art form that... It is a true art form, but it is almost entirely seen on the streets.
Now, in addition to everything else, there are going to be some, and this is my favorite new tongue twister, cinema seminars that will be happening.
Three times quick.
Cinema seminars. Lessons from...
On Saturday.
That's this Saturday?
No, just...
when are the cinema... Well, yeah. People can go to ccasantafe.org and look it up, and the program will presumably be in the Pasatiempo tomorrow.
It will be. And there's programs all around town, too. We are... You know, there's a lot of great films there. What really makes film, for me, an exciting medium is that it can draw people from all across the kind of socio-political, economic spectrum. And then... people have something to talk about afterwards. So we're showing a film about Mumia Abu-Jamal, and where you are...
which is called In Prison My Whole Life.
In Prison My Whole Life. And then we're going to have a panel discussion talk-back session afterwards with Jane Davis from Hope House, a prison official and an ex-inmate. And they're going to talk about the realities of the prison system and the possibilities for reform. And then we are also going to... The following week, this is a two-week festival, by the way. We've expanded it because there's a lot of great stuff
this
year. Yeah,
it goes through the 8th of February. We are very lucky.
Right. Through the 12th.
Oh, the 12th of February.
Yeah, through that Thursday. So, and we're going to be doing a program on architecture, mud architecture. The most beautiful examples of earth architecture are in Mali. We're going to show a film about that, and then we're going to have a discussion about adobe building across the globe.
And all this and much, much more, unfortunately, it's time to go right now. Jason Silverman is the director of the African Effect Film Festival at the Center for Contemporary Arts. He's a film curator over there. The Center for Contemporary Arts, 505-982-1338. And Samba Gajigo, professor of French, African Studies, and Film History at Mount Holyoke College. And one of the special guests whom you can meet at the African Effect Film Festival, which is happening tomorrow through the 12th of February. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Brian Highhill for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, good morning jazz. broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. My name is Mary Charlotte. We will see you tomorrow with Robert Knott and with more African Effect filmmakers, film festival people. So keep your dial tuned to KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio station. Hasta la vista. Ciao.